I'd like you to take the Word of God, please, and turn with me in the New Testament to the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 3. We'll begin reading with verse 1 in 2 Timothy, chapter 3 and verse 1. This is Paul's last word as he nears death. And the Bible says in chapter 3 of 2 Timothy and verse 1, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away." If you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, I want you to mark two words, if you would, please. And they're the words that we find in the fifth verse of this third chapter. The word form and the word power. And I want to speak to you on the subject of a powerless form. A powerless form. I want you to remember that expression. That God is telling us here about a powerless form. Every word in the Bible is an important word because it is the Word of God. There are some words that give us particular thoughts that reveal to us, that unlock for us, that unveil for us many other things about the Scriptures. As I've thought about this third chapter of 2 Timothy, I've been drawn to it many times. Every Bible I have is worn, well worn in this chapter. As a matter of fact, this is a relatively new Bible. And if you could see as I hold it up, it's marked all over in this third chapter. I want to understand this third chapter of 2 Timothy. Because the Bible says this also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Now, to be theologically correct, I believe that we could state that the last days are from our Lord Jesus Christ to this present moment. But they are the last of the last days. And perilous times, risky times, in the last of the last days. I recall a lady that entered the hospital often, and every time she'd go, her family thought she was going to die. And of course, they'd call me. That's what I wanted them to do. I wanted them to call me and tell me she was going to the hospital. And with every phone call, they would say, "Mother's going to die. And we've taken her back to the hospital. She's going to die. We don't think she's going to live. Perhaps just a day or two. That's all." And she'd get out of the hospital, go home, seem to nearly fully recover, and she'd have another bout. That went on for years, actually. But she did make her last trip to the hospital. And they did call and say, "Mother's going to die." Same speech. But that day, they were right. It was her last bout. I believe that helps us to understand these last days. No doubt every group of Christians in every period of history, when things were dark and despairing, thought they were in the last days. The last days. As I said, we're in the last days in this dispensation of the church age. From Christ and to this present moment, we're in the last days. But without a doubt, Bible students that I meet, and preachers that I know, and Bible teachers that I'm acquainted with, believe that we're nearing the time of the last of the last days. We're entering into these times. And the Bible gives us these characteristics that we're going to be familiar with. We come to the fifth verse. I think this fifth verse reveals more to us than we could possibly imagine at one reading. The Word of God says, having a form of godliness, in a method of summary, having a form of godliness. The people we're talking about have a form of godliness. But denying the power thereof, from such turn away. The word form here means appearance. There are other words translated form that mean more than appearance. But this has to do with appearance. What appears to be perfectly right. What appears to be something of substance. There is an appearance of godliness. An appearance that seems to be right. An appearance that seems to indicate substance. From all appearances, it seems it's all right. But there's something tragically missing. This is a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. This word power, you find other times, of course, in the Bible. And there are a number of words that are translated power. But here it has to do with the power of the Holy Spirit of God. The power that only God can give. The miraculous power of the Lord. The miracle-working power of the Holy Spirit of God. The evidence that God is at work by the power of God demonstrated. That power is missing in this appearance. It has every appearance of being religiously correct. Every appearance that there's substance. But take special note that this appearance does not have the power of God. The miraculous power of the Holy Spirit of God. Other spirits, yes, but not the Spirit of God. Able to do things, yes, but not what God can do. And this is the danger. This is the danger. And that's the first thing I want you to notice with me. The danger of this powerless form. The danger of this powerless form. The Bible says it has a form of godliness. Now, the most dangerous thing we ever deal with in life is the thing that appears to be right, but it's not right. It's something that people run to, but it is not right. It has every appearance of being right, but it's not right. Now, God gives us an example in this passage. I want you to look at it with me if you read on just a little bit. The Bible says, for of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lust. They're appealing to a certain audience, unstable souls, ever learning and ever able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds reprobate concerning the faith. There are churches that have a powerless form. There are homes that have a powerless form. There are schools that are called Christian schools that have a powerless form. From every appearance, it seems that it's what it ought to be. From every appearance, the church has all the trappings of what you might say are Christian. But it is a powerless form. It's a form without the power of God. From every indication, this particular family may appear to be a Christian family. Mom and dad are professing Christians. There are certain things in order in the home. And from every appearance, it appears to be a home that's a Christian home. But it's a powerless form. And there are educational institutions all across our land, day schools and colleges that call themselves Christian. And they have every appearance of being Christian, but they're powerless forms. The danger is they appear to be right. That they're seductive. They appear to be right. And the dangerous thing is, they're connected with that which is eternal. People sometimes fuss about the temporal things and offer no fuss or argument at all about the eternal things. They get upset about the temporal things and they're not upset at all about the eternal things. The great danger here is this has to do with eternal things. If a business is not all it ought to be, so what? The Better Business Bureau may find out and put out the word, and people say, we're not going to engage in that business any longer. We're not going to support that business any longer. And the business fails. No matter what kind of business it may be. They don't stand behind their product. They misrepresent things. And whatever the case may be, it fails. And so people lose a little money. But when a church is not what it's supposed to be, when a church misrepresents their message, when a church appears to be Christian and it's not Christian, then the souls of men, the eternal souls of men, are led astray. Oh, that's a much more dangerous, deceitful thing. I see frustrated parents who say, we're Christians. But just because you're Christian doesn't mean you have a Christian home. You say we provided our children with the right education. We provided our children with the necessities in life. And more than that, with men, the things they wanted in life. We have a fine house in which to live, a fine car in which to ride, fine clothes to wear. All these things are cared for. It seems like we did all the things we're supposed to as a family. We cross the T's and dot the I's. It appears to be that we have a Christian home. But it's a powerless form because the miraculous working of the Holy Spirit of God is not present in that family to change people's lives. It's a powerless form. And I don't know how many people I've heard say to me, we put our kids in Christian school, they were there all their life, and they graduated from Christian school, and now they're living for the devil. And perhaps the school had every appearance of being the right kind of place, but it was a powerless form because people's lives were not being miraculously changed by the Holy Spirit of God. The danger is this thing is so deceitful and it deals with the eternal souls of men. Oh, what a danger. Would you listen carefully? It is no small thing that people pretend to be following the Lord or Christian and they're not. That's no small thing. No small thing. I want you to notice the second thing here, and that's the denial. The denial of the power of God. In this powerless form, there's a denying of the power of God. The Bible says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Now, I want to show you our example in the Old Testament. When God gives us an example, we should pay close attention to it. So if you'll turn to the book of Exodus, the 7th chapter, I want you to see what God says here. And may I say that this message is more important than you may think it is, because we're living in an age of awful deceit. That's very important. It's essential, actually. It's essential that we understand this with a spiritual understanding. Now, most of us know the story of Moses being called of God through the burning bush. God spoke to Moses, this burning bush, the first type of the nation of Israel, the first picture of the nation of Israel, persecuted, burning, but not consumed. And God spoke to Moses with that burning bush and called Moses to go down to Egypt and confront the Pharaoh with the message of God. And our story is taken up here in Exodus chapter 7 and verse 10. The Bible says, and Moses and Aaron went in unto Pharaoh, and they did so as the Lord had commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent. Then Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers, now the magicians of Egypt. They also did in like manner with their enchantments. For they cast down every man his rod, and they became serpents. But Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods, and he hardened Pharaoh's heart, that he hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had said. Now, God tells us in the New Testament, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, who these men were, Jannes and Jambres. They were real people. They had real power, but it was not the power of God. It was a form of godliness, But denying the power thereof, the power, this dynamite power, this power that comes only from the Holy Spirit of God. They had power to do trickery. They had power to do these kinds of things. Their rods also became serpents. Let's look again. In verse 20, and Moses and Aaron did so as the Lord commanded, and lifted up the rod, smote the waters that were in the river, in the sight of Pharaoh, and in the sight of his servants, and all the waters that were in the river were turned to blood. Now that's the power of God. And the fish that was in the river died, and the river stank, and the Egyptians could not drink of the water of the river, and there was blood throughout all the land of Egypt. And the magicians of Egypt did so with their enchantments, and Pharaoh's heart was hardened. They also made water turn to blood. They're a form of godliness. It looked like what Moses did, but it did not have the power Moses had. Let's look again. The Bible says in chapter 8, verse 1, and the Lord spake unto Moses, go unto Pharaoh and say unto him, thus saith the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me. And if thou refuse to let them go, behold, I will smite all thy borders with frogs. And the river shall bring forth frogs abundantly, which shall go up and come into thine house, and into thy bedchambers, and upon thy bed, and into the house of thy servants, and upon thy people, and into thine ovens, and into thy kneading troughs. And the frogs shall come to both on thee, up both on thee and upon thy people and upon thy servants. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, say unto Aaron, stretch forth thine hand with thy rod over the streams, over the rivers, and over the ponds, and cause frogs to come upon the land of Egypt. And Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. And the magicians did so with their enchantments and brought up frogs upon the land of Egypt. The appearance, same appearance, same form, but not the same power. Do you realize how dangerous this thing is? It has the same form, the same appearance, but it doesn't have the same power. You see, the greatest imitator on earth is the devil. He's the greatest imitator on earth. But we must continue to read. Verse 16. The Bible says, and the Lord said unto Moses, say unto Aaron, stretch out thy rod and smite the dust of the land, that it may become lice throughout all the land of Egypt. And they did so. For Aaron stretched out his hand with his rod and smote the dust of the earth, and he became lice in a man and in beast. All the dust of the land became lice throughout all the land of Egypt. Now the dust, inanimate, the dust became lice. Verse 18 says, and the magicians did so with their enchantments to bring forth lice, but they could not. So the lice upon men and upon beasts. They could not create life. Their power failed. They could imitate, but they could not create. Then the magicians said unto Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he hearkened not unto them as the Lord had said. Now, there's a denying of the power of God. Let me ask you a question. Do you think it's possible that there are people who preach in churches who have the appearance of the genuine but don't have the power of God? Do you think there are people who have homes and have the appearance of having a Christian home but they don't have the power of God? Do you think there are schools where people attend schools and they have all the little cute Christian cliches? They hear other people say things, and they imitate the things they hear people say. It sounds like the same thing. And sometimes they even write things that read like the same thing. But they don't have the power of God. The denying of the power of God. If there is only one way to heaven, and there is, and Jesus Christ Himself said, I am the way, the truth and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Then can't you imagine the devil is doing everything he can to imitate that way? More people will go to hell doing good things than people who go to hell doing bad things. And their good deeds will become a substitute for trusting in Christ and Christ alone for their soul salvation. This is a powerless form. We are missing one thing today, and all of us are aware of it, but we don't know exactly what to do. We know we're missing what God and God alone can accomplish in our lives and in our churches and in our children and in our families. We all know that, don't we? Our landscape is dotted with churches. We have more religious broadcasts than we've ever had in the history of humanity. More gospel literature or more so-called Christian literature being printed. We've got more in circulation on the radio and television than human mind could imagine that says it's Christian, but we're missing the power of God. We have a powerless form. A powerless form. Now, many people are deliberately leading people astray. They're deliberately leading people astray. Other people are caught up in it, like these women who were led astray in 2 Timothy chapter 3. The national news this past week did a piece on Benny Hinn on national news. Benny Hinn made the statement that God had told him to raise millions and millions of dollars for a healing center. And after he started raising millions and millions for a healing center, now Benny Hinn has told the same people through television that God has changed his mind. He wants them to use that money for something else. Now, there are certain people who understand in the very beginning they shouldn't follow something like that or someone like that. There's no doubt about that. But the third thing I want to show you in this text is what we need most. And that's the discernment to recognize the powerless form. The discernment. The Bible says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. When do we turn away? When do we have the discernment to turn away? Friends, this is demonic activity. If you're still looking for the devil in a red suit with a pitchfork and horns and a big long red tail, like some child in a Halloween costume, by the way, who shouldn't be wearing that costume and shouldn't be out at Halloween wearing it. You know, we preachers have to get everything we can in every time we can. But if you're still looking for the devil in a red uniform with horns and a long tail and a pitchfork, you've missed it entirely. The devil does more damage as an angel of light than any other form that he takes. Winsome, charming, articulate. All these things that the world admires. How do we have the discernment to know when to turn away? We're not following that. I believe that everybody ought to be in a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church. And there ought to be evidence in that church of God by His Spirit changing people's lives, not just an emotional service. I'm going to make some folks who listen, not necessarily in this church house, but through the radio, a little angry. But that's all right if they think. Everything I know about the contemporary music scene excites the flesh. Everything I know about it excites the flesh. It may have the appearance in words of being the right thing, but it's missing the marvelous, miraculous working of the life-changing power of the Holy Spirit of God. So many crusades people are having, and they go back. These evangelists, international evangelists go back, and they themselves say,
The great thing that troubles us most is that we don't find changed lives. There's a form, there's an appearance. What about your home? Do you think you've got a Christian home just because you're a Christian? What's going on in your home? What's happening in your home that can only be explained by the working of the Holy Spirit of God? And in our Christian schools, everybody that's a Christian ought to want a Christian education for their children, whether they school them at home or school them in a classroom, but you can't confine Christian education to a classroom. But everybody ought to want a Christian education for their children if they're Christian. To see the development of the mind of Christ in young people. Is it just making the best grades you can make in class? Is it making the highest scores on the achievement test, the national standardized test? Is it some sort of rote behavior where everybody marches like they ought to march and everybody appears like they ought to appear? Is there nothing that should change the heart and transform the minds of people? Yes, there is, when it's truly Christian. And there's so much powerless form today. And so little that seems to be changing lives. I want you to make note of these verses. Turn with me to the book of Hebrews, please, just for a moment. In Hebrews chapter 5, the Bible says in verse 11, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you're dull of hearing. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. To discern. We must be able to discern. How are we able to discern? When do we know to turn away? When are we going to say, that is not God's way, I'm not following that way? When do people know I'm not investing my time, my life, or my money in that ministry? I'm not giving to that cause. I'm not putting my kids in that school. We've got to do something about this home. Even though we're going through the motions, it's not Christian. When do we know? How can we discern? The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 that men should be lovers of their own self. And this whole theme of self-esteem and self-love and self-respect and self-this and self-that. It's missing the point entirely. Once we're accepted in the beloved, once we know that God loves us and accepts us, I mean, what kind of message does self-esteem have to somebody who's physically marred for life to be a happy, joyous person? What can they hold out for that person? Write this verse down, would you please? In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the beloved. God loves me and accepts me no matter who I am, what I look like. He loves me with everlasting love. The world's way is not God's way. There is a philosophy, a way people think, that is after the world, it's not after Christ. So the Bible says in the book of Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8. But quickly, turn with me, please, to the Gospel according to John, the 16th chapter. The Bible says, for I have yet many things, verse 12, I have many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. He shall glorify Me. This is the Lord Jesus speaking in John 16, verse 14. And so much of this crowd talking about the Holy Spirit, the person of God and the person of the Holy Spirit, and not talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says the Holy Spirit's ministry is to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are Mine, therefore said I that He shall take of Mine, and shall show it unto you. How can we discern? Let's turn back to 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'll just tell you. these things. Look at them, please. The person who's serving God has nothing to hide. Verse 10, Paul says, "Thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, nothing to hide. Nothing to hide." It's an open book, people. Nothing to hide. In the church, in the school, in the home, there should be an openness here. Nothing to hide. We don't live by schemes and plans and conniving. Our lives are open books. And there are many people, there are many of you, by the way, there are many of you who are missing God's best for your life because you're deceived in thinking if you hold on to one thing, that's your freedom. Listen carefully. One habit. One thing you think you'd have to do if you're going to serve intimately in this church and really be in the heart of things. You've got one thing. You say, well, I have my freedom. And what you call your freedom is really bondage. And that one thing is what would be used if you'd give it up to unlock all of God's blessing in your life. Nothing to hide. Nothing to hide. Notice we're to practice what we preach. He says, you've known my manner of life. What I'm preaching and living. Now, there are no perfect people. I understand that. No perfect people, but we should practice what we preach. We should practice what we preach. Notice another thing here. He says, you should be willing to suffer. And Paul talks about his sufferings, his persecutions, his sufferings, his afflictions. We've seen so many people today train groups of people to believe that it's all coming up roses. There are no problems if you serve God. And it's almost like if something bad goes wrong, it's because you've done something bad. You know, our God is a God who can use crooked lines to make straight things. He knows how. He knows how. There's an old song that has a line that says, my Father's way may twist and turn, my heart may throb and ache, but in my heart I know He maketh no mistake. We ought to be willing to suffer. Then notice, and there's a whole list of them, but let me give you this one. We must stay with the Bible. Check it out with God's Word. The person who doesn't say, let's see what the Bible says. If I bring someone with me and I say to this person, now, your way is wrong and my way is right. Or if I say, my way is wrong and your way is right, that's not the way to deal with things. If it's a child, if it's a school, if it's a church, what we must say is, look, come please. Let's see what God's Word says. And we agree to meet at God's Word. Check it out with the Bible. Check it out with the Bible. There's so much danger in the land today, in these powerless forms. And people who know nothing about the miraculous work of the Holy Spirit of God in their lives, they're just copycatting things, just like the devil copycats things. And they say, oh, well, he's got a praise band in his church and he's drawing a crowd. Let's get a praise band at our church and we'll draw a crowd. It's got nothing to do with the Holy Spirit of God. Nothing. People today are excited about vouchers. You need to be careful about vouchers for Christian schools. Why should people want a Christian education? Not because it costs less or costs more. It has nothing to do with cost. It has everything to do with what God's Word says, and it has to be the right philosophy which lines up with the Lord and His Word. I don't want to jump for any hook the devil throws in the water, no matter what bait he puts on it. And we need discernment to know what to turn away from. There are many powerless forms out there. And I don't mean by this message to set myself up or to set you up or to have you ever think that we're the judge. No. He's the judge. He deals with us. But if it does not exalt Christ, if we're not willing to live an open life, to practice what we preach, and to bear what He gives us, And by the way, don't try to escape suffering. Seek God in your suffering. That's the message all of us need now. Don't look for the easy way out. Look for the Christ way out. Look for the Christ way out. All of us can testify that the great lessons we've learned in life have been learned in the dark hours when God proved Himself. Correct? If it doesn't line up with the Bible, it may make you feel good, it may sound good, it may electrify you, it may do something to your physical senses. You may even get a soul shock from the thing. You may feel energized with an adrenaline run. But if it doesn't line up with the Bible and honor Christ, you better watch which power you're dealing with. Anything less than the power of God is less than we need. We're living in perilous times. And let's not leap at a form that appears to be the right thing that doesn't have the power of the Holy Spirit. And if you know in your home you're going through the motions, or in your Christian life you're going through the motions, but you're missing the transforming power of the Holy Spirit of God in your life and your family, then you need to seek the Lord and seek His Word and ask God to do what He can only do. Let's bow in prayer together, may we?